Well, again, I'm thankful to be here with you and thankful for each one that's able to be here. I feel a real need of the Lord's help because I'm interested in more than man's words. Because I think that'll only go so far. You know, when I think about a meeting, a setting like this, I think, Lord, I don't know what they need. I really don't. I really don't hardly know what I need. But I'm so thankful for the Lord, and we believe in the leadership of His Spirit. So we ask that the Lord would have His way tonight, and that the Word of the Lord could have free course among us. Like to consider an old story. Begin in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to read here about David. It's a story I believe we know well. But we'll pick up a few verses of it. 10th verse of 1 Samuel 17. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You can hear in the words that Goliath said just mockery. Come on, is this the best that you've got? Give me a man. Well, this was the Philistines' best. This was their standard bearer, if you will. This was their trophy, their champion that they put out before them. And to their face, he defied the army of Israel. Challenge that they send a man that we may fight together. And it says when Saul, remember who Saul was? This was the king. When Saul heard and all the people the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, that's not really a state of affairs that you want to find in your fighting men. It's not really the frame of mind that you'd like to find your troops in. Dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, then the scene shifts here and it says, now David. Well, we know about David. We know the story of David. David at that time, and perhaps often you might argue, was overlooked. He was just the lad, the youngster. Not a whole lot of thought given to him. But he was sent on a mission, and I'll skip down now to the 22nd verse. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. 29th verse. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Well, David began questioning about who is this man? What is this scene that I've walked into here? It's not what I expected to find among the armies of God. You're dismayed. You're trembling. Who is this man that dares defy the God of Israel? Well, they chastised him. Again, David was overlooked. And David, we know the naughtiness of your heart. So, well, hold on a minute. Isn't there a cause here? Isn't there something worth fighting for? And As David began going about and challenging and questioning, word got back to Saul. The 32nd verse, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Look, if no one else is going to go, it wasn't that Goliath was filling his, David was filling his oats. It wasn't that he was there to prove himself. He saw a need and he recognized it. Why are you fellas not fighting? Why are you not going? Isn't there a cause? But you know, when it comes down to it, if no man is going to stand with me, if no one else is willing to do the right thing, count me in. A foolish thing, Saul thought, you can't go. You're just a lad. Do you see this man that you're going up against? I'll go and fight with him. He said, you're not able. 41st verse. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. It's one thing to think big whenever you're home in the safety and comfort of the sheepfold. But whenever you go out and now you're face to face. This is for real. David, you still got time to turn and run. But that's not what David said. And as Goliath starts threatening them, the same kind of language that had caused the hearts of the men of war to tremble and to fail. There was a difference here. David's heart didn't fail him in that moment. He didn't become dismayed and turn tail and run. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran in the wrong direction. So might everyone else have thought. David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I don't know what that does for you, but it challenges me. It inspires me that David, there was a difference in David's heart. And I want you to think for a moment, what was the difference between David and his brethren? Well, you might have a number of answers, and I suppose they'd all be right. But this is what I'd like to consider tonight. Courage. You might say, well, the difference was faith. I believe faith is born of courage. Rather, courage of faith. Courage. I'd like to look at Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1. The time came when Moses, a man used mightily of God, was moving off of the scene. You know, that's always a troublesome time when those who have been the stability and the rock and the ones on whom you've depended and you've relied move off the scene. There's uncertainty. But the message here unto Joshua was, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord brought him back to it again and reminded him, remember what I said to you. Remember what I taught you, the charge that I gave you. Be strong and of a good courage. And again, I'm saying to you, be strong and of a good courage. Folks, if we are going to be successful in anything of spiritual realm, it's going to require a degree of courage. We're going to face obstacles and hindrances and the enemy of our soul who is intending to do his worst. It's going to require courage. You know, it's going to require courage to do as Joshua was said here and observe to do the law of the Lord. It's going to take courage in a nation that doesn't do so. It's going to require courage to stand up and stand alone. It's going to require courage to do the right thing when everyone else is doing the wrong thing. It's going to require courage. So Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. I'm not sending you here into a suicide mission. You're able to do it with my help. I'll go with you and give you success wherever you go. Do you think Joshua leaned on and remembered this message? I think he had to. If you look at what... Well, many were the times that Joshua was put to the test. Think about the time whenever they came up, I suppose for the second time, unto the Jordan River. Remember the first time he was one of two who came back with a different report. Remember there was a difference between the hearts of David, the heart of David and the hearts of his brethren. So was the case with Caleb and Joshua. There was a difference there. Faith, it was courage, it was the two that worked together. They didn't, yes, they saw the giants, they saw the walls, they saw the same things that the other did. But courage gives you fortitude even when you see the reality of the situation and how hard it is, where I don't focus on that, but I see a God that's bigger than all of that. He had courage. He was in the minority. You know, it requires courage. And if you're going to walk with the Lord, expect to be in the minority. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. We're going to have courage to walk that way. Whenever he faced that river now to go over into the Canaan land, and they crossed over, made it to the other side, and they had a story and a testimony and a pillar of stones to erect as a result of it. But that didn't happen until they were willing to step their feet into the river. It took some courage. I'd rather say, Lord, once you prepare the way before me, once you prove to me that the giant can be defeated, then I'll very gingerly step forward. But the Lord said, it's going to take courage, Joshua, to observe to do everything that I command you. And I'm telling you to go forward. I'm telling you, I've given you this land. But you've got a part to play here. You're going to step the foot forward. You're going to have the courage to not shrink back whenever the hearts of others begin to melt. Whenever they went and he was responsible for a people who were going to go and march around Jericho. You think he got some looks whenever he gave that command? This makes no sense. It took some courage. You know, the time came not long after that they were defeated and put to shame at Ai. And you know, the Lord came to him and said, Joshua, get up off of your face. There's something that we need to deal with here. You know, there's a time and a place to be on our face before the Lord seeking Him. But there's a time to get up off our face and to go forward. Joshua, it's going to take some courage here to go and face the root of the problem. You know, it's going to take some courage to face our giants. It's going to take some courage to look into the mirror of God's Word and see myself. It's going to take courage to be willing to do something about it. To not just make excuses and turn and, well, but this is why and this is how and this. It's going to take courage to say, Lord, I am the man. Lord, that's me. You found me where I am. And I'm going to go forward by your grace. I don't know how. I've tried before. There are all these reasons coming up before my mind of how I will not be successful. But by faith and courage, I'm going to put one foot in front of the next. And the Lord to give the next step after that. I'd like to look here as we fast forward a little bit in Joshua's life to the 10th chapter. Joshua chapter 10. The 12th verse, then spake Joshua to the Lord. In the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. You know what that took for Joshua to stand and declare that? He didn't go behind a tree and say, let's try this. Let's see if this works. Hey, sun. In the sight of all Israel. Now, I think there's an inspiration of our faith that is required so something's not just foolishness. But when the Lord inspires faith and says, move forward, Joshua did it with courage and with confidence that he could say in the sight of all Israel, I'm not thinking about what the outcome is. What if I fail? You ever found yourself shackled by that? What if this doesn't go how I wanted? What if I fail? What if I'm too bold in what I ask for the Lord? And what if people see it? You know, what if we lay hands on someone and anoint? What if the Lord doesn't touch him? What if the Lord help us to have courage in who God is. I leave the results with the Lord. But Lord, I know who you are and I know what you're able to do. That I'm willing to follow in the leadings of the Lord. And to keep my eyes fixed as we spoke last night about on our helper. Verse 26. I believe it was 25. Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Are those familiar words? You notice how Joshua's reciting the very same thing that the Lord taught him. You know, if we want to be able to be a help to other people, I'm not going to be able to be a help when I'm holed up in a cave, when I'm hiding under a bush saying, Lord, just go ahead and take my life. What's the use? It's all over. I'm the only one left. The Lord says, Elijah, come out. I want to talk to you. I'm going to have to be able to draw from something that the Lord's given me. That same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. We're able to take then and comfort other people. Let me tell you what the Lord has taught me. Be strong. It's safe to trust the Lord. Let me tell you how the Lord's worked in my life. And so he shared with them. Be strong. Don't be afraid. There came a time whenever Joshua had to take a stand, irregardless of what decision other people would make. And this was his stand. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what other people, I'm not polling other people to see what they're going to do. I've got it settled, I've got it fixed, and I boldly declare, not in arrogance, not in pride, but in confidence in my God, I've got my mind made up. I've got it settled. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. You know, I believe courage can be contagious. And I also believe fear can be contagious. What are other people going to catch from me and from you? even if I have to stand alone. It's not that I want to, but I want to have the courage to do the right thing. And if you're going to do the right thing, there are going to be times and settings where you will be standing alone. And it'll take courage. I'd like to look at 1 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. 1 Chronicles 19 and the 10th verse. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out of all the choice of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, and they set themselves to array against the children of Ammon. And he said, "If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will help thee. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in His sight." Let's leave the Lord's work to the Lord. Let's leave the results to the Lord. As for me, I want to behave myself courageously. I want to behave myself valiantly. If you get nothing else from the burden I have tonight, remember this. The courage is not how you feel, it's what you do. It's not about, I feel courageous. I'm just inherently a courageous person. That kind of courage isn't going to get you very far. Courage is not about how you feel in the face of danger. It's about what you decide to do. And their challenge to each other. When they notice we're beset before and behind, we're surrounded. How are we going to behave now? Let us behave ourselves valiantly. Folks, it's not just us. We don't live unto ourselves. We don't die unto ourselves. But every one of us have an impact on other people that are around us. The decisions that we make, the way we conduct our lives, the way we live. I'm going to tell you for myself and my experience when I was a teenager. I regret to tell you that I was not nearly as strong as I should have been through much of my teenage years, and part of it not at all where I was supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you, I can remember to this day those who, whenever we were getting together as guys to have a good time, a sleepover or whatever, I'd see them before they lay down to go to sleep pulling their Bible out. I'm going to tell you, I took notice of that. There were times I wasn't one of the ones doing that. But I noticed it. And it was a pillar to me. It was a stability to me when I came to the time that I was being pulled in so many directions. Lord, I want to be like that. I want to have something even when I'm the only one, that I don't let it stop me. I think about Daniel and what an inspiration Daniel is. That when Daniel, the law, the decree was made in the law that you can't pray to your God, and what did Daniel do? He wasn't just in your face, but Daniel kept doing the right thing. He kept living the way he had always lived before God. He kept his windows open and he kept praying to God. That's what courage is. That I keep doing the right thing. Whether I feel like it, whether I'm not, whether I don't, whether people around me are or not, let us behave ourselves valiantly. Whatever it is that you might be facing on your horizon, let us behave ourselves valiantly. The 13th century, Mongol conquest. You might have heard the name Genghis Khan, name associated with brutality and brutal methods of warfare.
His conquests were marked by just inhumane treatment of his captives and those that he would go forth to conquer. He would make an example of them publicly before everybody else. They could see the brutality and the bloodshed and the treatment of them. And you know, there was a reason why he did that. It wasn't just for that particular village that he was entering into. But his attempt was to defeat their will to fight. Not just that village, but the village down the road. And the village down the road from that. So that whenever they heard the stories of what had happened, that they were much more inclined to just throw their hands up before he ever even entered into their village. You know, the enemy wants to do the same thing with us. He wants to target our will to fight. It's kind of also known as courage. Our determination, our will, our desire to fight. The enemy wants to go after that. I want to get another illustration in 2 Samuel. Second Samuel, the 10th chapter. It says it this way, this rendering of what we've read. If the Syrians, verse 11, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. And if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people. It makes me think of the scripture that says, quit ye like men. Let us play the men. I don't believe he was saying, let us put on a facade. Let us be hypocrites. But we've got a decision to make here. How am I going to face this battle? How do I want to go through it? You know, I know the stories that I like to read of valor and courage, and those make the best kind of stories, don't they? You see somebody get into the most difficult of situations, and the plot is so thick, and you're on the edge of your seat, and then you see the courage with which they face that, and the result of it. You know, our story is still being written. Let me play the man here. Lord, give me the courage to live what I like to read. Give me the courage to act valiantly in this situation. Whenever the enemy wants to try to attack the very will to fight. Are you enlisted? Are you fighting today? I don't want to be on the hilltop. I've got the identity of a soldier. It's what I'm there to do. But in reality, day after day, I'm just on the sidelines, holding back in fear, trepidation, uncertainty. Folks, there are giants to conquer. And the giants aren't named other people. There's giants that I have to conquer in the land that the Lord wants me to go and take. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse says this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Because if you're going to be a soldier, that's what it's going to bring with it. You're going to face some hardship. You're going to face adversity. Believe Thomas Paine wrote of some of the darkest days of the Revolutionary War. These are the times which try men's souls. The sunshine soldier won't stand in this time. Men's souls are being tried here. I don't want to be a sunshine soldier. I want to be one whenever the going gets tough, that I have the courage to stand and to fight. What we're talking about here of courage and of the will to fight. Have you ever felt yourself lose the will to fight? You know what that's called? Discouragement. Whenever I start to lose my courage, to lose my will to fight. Well, I believe the children of Israel's report, many of them there when the spies came back from the Canaan land, they heard the report and they said, "Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying the people is greater and taller. Our hearts are discouraged. We've lost our courage. It started to falter. Our hearts have started to melt." Discouragement. You think the enemy works with discouragement? You think that's in his toolkit? Absolutely. The enemy will try to discourage every one of us. You know that might look different for every one of us. I might not sit there thinking, "Oh, I'm discouraged." You know, it can look like this. I start to lose my zeal. I just start to lose my drive for living for the Lord. My passion for communing with the Lord and reading His Word. And you know, there are things in life that are tough, that are difficult, that can scar and wound us. Things from which I need healing. And if I don't get that healing, I can go a long ways down the road and I've realized, you know what this is? This is discouragement. And there are some things that I dealt with that are hard that, you know, it's still affecting me. Lord, I need some healing. Lord, I need some victory over this thing. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 tells us something that I have leaned on so many times. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. The scripture says, if you sow according to what you see in the clouds, it's not wise. Don't sow by the winds and the clouds and what you see. You know, if we have a heart to live for the Lord, if we have a heart to work for the Lord, we're going to have to settle it in our hearts to be courageous. Because it's not always going to be sunshine and roses. It's not always going to be, I see fruit and results on the right and on the left of what I do. There are going to be times that I labor and labor and work, and it seems like nothing comes from it. What am I going to do? Draw back, and you know what? They just don't want to hear it. You know what? Nobody cares anymore. You know, the Lord, just like Joshua, I'm sharing with you something the Lord's had to come and remind me of. You know, in our hometown, we have gone and passed out thousands of invitations, knocking on doors, talking to people, trying to connect with them, trying to invite them out, setting up a tent and downtown of the city and doing everything I know to do. Lord, I want to reach people. Lord, would you send people out? Surely there's somebody that wants to hear the gospel and recognizes a need for deliverance. And then you get to service. Thank God for the faithfuls. But Lord, I wanted more than that. Lord, I want to see souls come out and be saved and delivered. Lord, that's my heart. It's my desire. You see my heart is right here. What are you going to do? Become discouraged? Sit back and say, you know what? There's no use. I'm just not even going to try anymore. Obviously, it's not. Now, don't just go out and say, I'm just going to busy myself with anything I can just to be busy. But when I have a heart that says, Lord, I want to work for you. Lord, would you establish the work of my hands? Lord, incline my heart in what I can do. Give me opportunity to work for you. You know, if that's our heart, I believe the Lord will begin opening those doors and giving us opportunity. But I'm going to have to settle it that I'm not going to observe the clouds. I'm not going to do it for the benefit of the fruit of it. Yes, I want to see fruit. But I've got to leave the fruit with the Lord. And I've got to be willing, if my part is just to sow my seed and go on my way and never see anything come of that seed. You know, I like to be, oh, how encouraging it is. When someone comes and gives their heart to the Lord, whenever someone comes out and, oh, thank God, and their testimony is so real and vibrant, you know, it just injects life into the congregation. Thank the Lord. Oh, it's so encouraging. Mark what you do. What happens if that same source of encouragement becomes a source of discouragement? What if that same soul that walks through the door walks right back out the door? Lord, help me to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the reassurance is, whether I see it or whether I don't, your work is not in vain. Your efforts and your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Discouragement can lead to depression, despair, hopelessness. You know, discouragement, there are some telltale signs of it sometimes. Discouragement can lead to me resorting to comforts. Now, I want you to understand what I mean by this. There may not be anything sinful about what I'm calling a comfort. But you know, it may lead to me turning to comforts like food, entertainment. I just need something to kind of pick me up. I just need something. Oh, things are difficult. And I've got to identify something that can give me a little bit of a boost or a pick-me-up. You know, you ever seen people that do product unboxings? They do videos of it and they get all kinds of views of it. Because there's something about unboxing a new product, a new item, that there's an excitement about it and you see it. You know, that fuels people. There's nothing wrong with buying a new item. But you know, if I'm looking to these kind of things to be kind of a pick-me-up, a boost, to kind of give me something to get me to the next, well, 2-day shipping or whatever. 2 days, it'll give me something to look forward to. Of course, you know, some of those things can be just treating a symptom of something deeper down inside that the Lord wants to minister to. There can be places, I've not been one that I felt like just naturally was prone to deal with a lot of depression, but I'm going to tell you, that can be such a real place. It can be a place where you feel like you're drowning, and I feel like the Lord's allowed me to go through enough of it to get a taste. You can feel like you're drowning, that it's over your head. You can feel like all I want to do is go curl up in a ball in a dark room somewhere and not talk to anybody, not interact with anybody. I don't want to go to service. I don't feel like... You say, well, now that was before you started preaching, right? Well, we'll move on. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the enemy is very real. And how he wants to come and try to begin chipping away at our will to fight. And if the enemy can get us into a place that maybe I don't even recognize the pattern of what the enemy's trying to do. That I don't, it's just difficult. I'm having a hard time. I'm trying to distract myself. When I don't recognize what it is the enemy is trying to do. Folks, it can be a spiral. I can find myself in a place that I just don't have the desire for the things of God. I just don't really feel like reading and praying today. And as I do that less, you know what happens to my desire for the things of God? It diminishes and it can become a spiral. You know how the Lord dealt with me on times that I felt like I just want to go curl up in a dark corner somewhere? Clint, get up off of your face. and go out and face this thing. You can't give in to that. You can't succumb to that. You can't accommodate that kind of thing that is leading you down a dark path. You've got to recognize it and realize this is the enemy trying to work here. The enemy is trying to discourage me. And I've got to be the guardian of my mind and of my thoughts to recognize. I think of it like air traffic control or the radars that show where planes are and incoming. And I need to be able to identify each one of those. You know what? That thought is from the enemy. I'm not going to harbor that. I'm not going to hold on to that. I've seen where that leads me. I've seen how that takes me down into a pattern of self-pity, a pattern of darkness and discouragement. And I don't want to go down that path. I know where that thing leads me. And I need to be able to recognize and deal with that before it takes me down that path. Discouragement is never from God. Discouragement never comes from the Lord. You say, how do I know the voice of the Lord? If the voice you hear results in discouragement, it is not from the Lord. And the enemy will try to take and work and twist and manipulate. And even when he quotes scripture, he's lying and trying to discourage and accomplish some devious scheme. But oh, the voice of the Lord. Folks, it brings hope. It brings comfort. It gives even when I don't see a way out. It gives me the hope that I can at least try. I can at least take the next step. It shows me what that next step is. Oh, David, I believe, in one of his dark moments, cried out and said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in the Lord." You know, he had to put that to practice. The benefit of this will be next to nothing if it's just these moments that we're together. Lord, help me to take it home and to put it to practice. David wrote it and David lived it. May I hear it, may I say it, and live it. The time came whenever 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, read about the story from his life, 1 Samuel 30 and the third verse. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David was one of the ones weeping. David was one of the ones that felt this loss as keenly as any of them did. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. What do you do when your courage is low? What do you do when you're discouraged? Well, you can't wait for outside sources. I can't just look to someone else. Well, you know what? If someone else is encouraged, when I come to service, I hope everybody else has got some pep in their step, because I sure don't. I can't wait for other people to be my source. I've got to get something from the Lord that's part of what courage is. That even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't see any cause, any reason to be encouraged around me, encourage yourself in this. In the Lord your God. Remember who He is. Remember what He's able to do. I wonder if He wasn't rehearsing some of the stories. Oh God, I know You did this. I know You did this for Abraham. And I remember this time, Lord, I remember when that lion and the bear, I remember how I felt. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Philippians, the 4th chapter. Try not to be much longer here. Philippians 4. The 6th verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, the enemy wants to discourage us from even bringing our requests to the Lord. That's sure going to help my problem, isn't it? He wants to try to cut off our lifeline. He wants to try to get us isolated and off by ourselves somewhere where He can move in for the kill. You know, he can't do that with a soul that is encouraged. So he's got to go after and try to discourage and bring down. You know how many times he'll even work through other people to do it? You know, if he can get somebody offended. I haven't hardly seen where somebody will walk away from truth and from the saints, but what they first become offended at something or someone. Folks, watch what the enemy's trying to do. I've got to get something with the Lord that I can stand steadfast, unmovable, regardless of what happens around me, regardless of what's done to me, that I have something that I'm tapped into that is a source of courage and strength. David encouraged himself in the Lord when there was no one else to encourage him. This says, bring it to the Lord. Oh, that song says, we should never be discouraged. Let's bring it to the Lord in prayer. But it says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know there's a purpose. There's something that thanksgiving accomplishes as well. Whenever the horizon is so dark, it's like the glimmer of sunrise that starts to break through. When I, Lord, thank you. And I began counting my blessings. And I don't know how many times I've gone to prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I remember and I began rehearsing in my own life. You know, there's something that begins to break. Bring it with thanksgiving unto the Lord. And then it says, finally, brethren, well, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and praise, think on these things. Let this be the litmus test of what I spend my time thinking about, dwelling upon. When the enemy brings questions and doubts and fears and suppositions and all of that, this is what I'm going to think on. Let's think on things that are wholesome. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, as we close. Hebrews chapter 12 and 12th verse. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know what hands are supposed to be doing? Exactly that. Doing. Hands are supposed to be busy, doing, accomplishing, occupied till I came, come, Jesus said. That's what our hands are to be doing. But this is talking about hands that become slack. Hands that begin to droop. Hands that begin to just hang down idle at their side. You know, that tends to be where the enemy wants to get us. Where I begin focusing on me, myself, and my problems and my needs. And sometimes what the Lord's wanting to say is, I got someone I want you to go bless. Lord, I need blessing myself. I have something I want you to go do. I want you to look up and I want you to look out. And I want you to go confirm someone else's hands that hang down. Lord, help us that our hands will be active, will be strong. There's a difference between this picture, the hands that hang down, and the picture of the men who fought so long through the day that their hand clave unto the sword. You see the difference? I don't want to be one that my hands are just drooping. You know, I've been through some things. I've taken some knocks in life. I've been through some hard places. If I'm not careful, those places can follow me. And I may not even realize it, but my hands are just kind of starting to droop. My shoulders are starting to sag. You know, the Lord is again touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows, He understands it. And the Lord, as David said, He is the lifter up of my head. When my head is hanging down, when it's low and I'm just looking at things all around, how'd that work out for Peter when he stepped out of the boat? And he began looking down and looking around, all around him. Folks, that's a good recipe to get discouraged every time. Get your eyes fixed on people and what people are doing or what people aren't doing, situations and circumstances of life, and it'll bring discouragement. But he is the lifter up of my head. I will lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. That's where I'm going to lift my eyes. That's where I want to focus. And I believe it's what David saw. Rather than the size of the giant, he saw the reality of how big his God was. It's not just mind over matter, but you know our perspective and where our eyes are focused will have something to do with the level of courage that I have. Lord, help me that I keep my eyes in the right place. How's your courage today? Lord, help us that we be encouraged in the Lord. You pray for me.